thể hiện ý chí, niềm tin, sức mạnh chiến đấu, những chiến công hào hùng.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. All week, we've been watching preparations for this day, the celebration of the 40th anniversary of Vietnam's Reunification Day. And today, dozens of military marching units stepped off down the street in unison. Civilians dressed in colorful costumes followed, all to tight security and sparse crowds. April 30th marks the day the last Americans left Vietnam and the North and South were joined again. But what's it mean to the Vietnamese people? Well, we've learned this week, it very much depends on whom you ask. Take 75-year-old Nguyen Hu Thai. We met the architect and urban planner this week in his family-owned boutique hotel here in Ho Chi Minh City.
You know about my impression of April 30. It's a wonder for me.
You know my impression of April 30th? It was a wonder for me. I looked at the sky, no more military planes, not even Vietnamese planes. On the street, no more military cars, no more flares in the sky. It was so peaceful and dark, I couldn't believe it myself. It was like a dream, because in all my youth, there was no time of peace. And we longed for peace.
And we longed for the peace.
His story is complicated. As a young man, Nguyen Hu Thai was an officer in the South Vietnamese Army, but he was also an anti-war activist, jailed four times, and he was a spy for the Viet Cong.
Working in the day as a South Vietnamese officer, I was an instructor in political science.
That was in the daytime. What was happening at night on the other side?
All my other time I devoted to being something like a spy. That was my mission as an urban National Liberation Front fighter. I provided information, even weapons.
While Nguyen Hu Thai celebrated on April 30th, 1975, at the very same time, Van Trung Le and his family were fleeing the country.
There were a lot of gunfire, rockets, and explosions. There were bodies, dead bodies on the streets. There were abandoned buildings and homes, and as we were driving through the city, all nine of us packed in my father's station wagon, we were seeing it. It was almost like a movie to me, and it was kind of unreal as a child seeing all those things.
Van Trung Le was just 8 years old in 1975. His family was trying to escape Vietnam because his father, a wealthy sugar and lumber merchant, had supported the South Vietnamese government and did business with the Americans. Eventually, the family, led by the father, made it to the coast.
So he was able to rent a tugboat, and we probably had maybe 100 people load up on this small tugboat, which is bizarre, but it became very quickly overloaded with passengers, with deserted soldiers throwing away their guns, with folks who wanted to join with us and flee the country to just the open ocean.
After 8 or 9 days at sea, sometimes adrift, sometimes siphoning fuel off abandoned boats, they were picked up by a ship and taken to the Philippines. They spent time in a refugee camp and later resettled in Pennsylvania. For the Trung family, those early years in the U.S. were difficult. Wealthy in Vietnam, but suddenly poor in America, Trung's father took a job as a museum janitor in Pittsburgh while looking for other work. The family then moved to Queens, New York, then New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Houston. Over the years, members of the family settled in different cities. And at the age of 11, in 1978, Van Trung Le arrived in Boston to live with his older brother and sister, and he went back to school.
We were told that Massachusetts had the best schools in the country, and so we went that direction. And during those times, it was a welcoming state for refugees, for Vietnamese people. And we had some friends who were already in Boston. So I did well, I think, at the Taft Middle School when I went there in eighth grade, got to ninth grade, Boston Latin Academy.
Harvard University followed, and Northeastern University Law School. Today, Van Trung Le is a lawyer in Boston and interim director of Viet Aid, an organization serving the Vietnamese community. Six of his brothers and sisters still live in Boston. Two others are in California, and one is in Washington, D.C. He describes them all as successful and lucky. Back here in Ho Chi Minh City, Win-Hu Tai's family is also full of success stories. They've made a good life here. But he understands why so many fled the war-torn country.
Certainly, you have a section of Vietnamese
people. Certainly, you have a segment of Vietnamese people who were very anti-communist. They were afraid of communists. At the time, black propaganda from the American and South Vietnamese governments said, if communists come, you will have slaughter. At least 1 million people will die if communists enter Saigon. Many people believed that.
Many people believe it.
Win-Hu Tai calls the communist takeover a peaceful transition. While it's not known how many people died in the fall of Saigon, thousands of South Vietnamese were placed in re-education camps. April 30th remains an important and emotional day for many Vietnamese here and abroad. For Van Trong Le in Boston, this is a painful day, a time he and others who fled Vietnam call Black April.
Because that was when the folks from South Vietnam lost the country, our country, to the northern communist regime. It was the day we lost our country, so we refer to it as Black April. In fact, for the last 40 years, on April 30th, the Vietnamese who resettled here, for the most part, commemorate and observe that day as a day to commemorate the loss of Vietnam.
It is the propaganda
by anti-communist people abroad. Black April.
Again, Win-Hu Tai.
I know they even say the day,
April 30th, is a day of hate. I could call the day, April 30th, a day of peace, independence, and reunification of Vietnam.
They've never met Win-Hu Tai and Van Trong Le. But beyond their common bond as Vietnamese, they have something more in common. No regrets for the difficulties and hardships in their lives. Win-Hu Tai, here in Ho Chi Minh City.
I think if I were born again,
regained my youth, I'd do it the same. I'd do the same thing.
And in Boston, Van Trong Le.
You know, I wouldn't change a single thing, Bob. I think God's plan for you is much more complicated than you can understand. Would I rather have been back in Vietnam where my father was a multimillionaire and I had everything given to me? Maybe. But through the difficult moments, I learned more. Through not having things given to me, I worked harder for it.
This is a popular version of a well-known Vietnamese patriotic song. Its title translates to The Great Circle of Vietnam. From jungled hills to the distant sea, we form a wide circle to unite our country. From far and wide, we now return with joy like a sandstorm to the far horizons. Let's now join hands, a great circle of Vietnam. The song was written in 1968 at the height of the Vietnam War. For 90.9 WBUR, this is Bob Oakes in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Hãy subscribe cho kênh Ghiền Mì Gõ để không bỏ lỡ những video hấp dẫn.